Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. The last few times I've been here, we've been looking at giants. The giants that come in our life, different things, different problems that we all face. We looked at the story of Goliath. Just kind of as an introductional piece there, but there's so many things that we have to face in this Christian life. And if you listen to the words this morning of our songs, a lot of it had to do with warfare, right? The battle belongs to the Lord. So we want to kind of look at fighting the good fight as we deal with giants. What are you talking about giants if you weren't here before, right? So the giants that come in our life that just seem to always be there. Things like guilt, depression, worry, fear. These things that when we go to bed at night, that's what's staring us in the face. When we get up in the morning, that's the first thing we think about. There's a lot of giants that we have to deal with. And the Christian life is a battle. It's not easy. It's not easy. And so we want to look at today how to defeat these giants again, but look specifically at one piece of armor that God has allowed us to have. So let's go to the Lord in prayer here just to ask him for some help. And as we open up his word, Lord, this is your word that we're reading. This is not man's word. This is not some made-up story, a feel-good story. Lord, this is from Almighty God, and it's for our benefit. So, Lord, help us to glean from these verses that we're about to read, Lord, strength to fight our giants until you come again. So give help today, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dale's going through, I think, a series on Revelation. Is that right? Revelation. And that's really where we need to be right now. As we see the day coming when the fulfillment of the final chapters of what's going to happen on this earth seem to be coming together. I cannot tell you exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't tell you what's going to happen today. But when we look at God's word, we can start connecting dots and we can see the plans of God coming together. We've all been looking at the news. Israel is been attacked. It's one of the worst attacks that they've had in a long time, from what I guess understand, since 1973, when they had this Yom Kippur War. This is one of the biggest attacks that's been on Israel since that time. Israel, of course, is central in Bible prophecy. You've got to keep your eyes on Israel if you want to see and understand how the end times are going to play out. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelation really dovetail together to tell us the future. You know, last week, I guess it was Friday or Saturday, 10 days ago, Israel somehow was caught off guard. For whatever reason, and there's going to have to be a lot of digging into figuring out what in the world happened, because they were caught off guard on an enemy that they knew about and an enemy that they have been dealing with for a long time. And somehow, they weren't ready. And as our brother Tom prayed, we asked that, you know, for the Lord, do your will here. Again, how is this all playing in the end times? We'll have to wait and see. Guys, this is how world wars are started. This is how people start getting on phones and they call their allies. Hey, you got my back, right? Because I'm getting ready to go in. And then these people over here, they're on the phone too. Hey, we're getting ready to get attacked. You got my back, right? And this is how world wars start. And we know, again, there's going to be a battle in Israel called the Gog and Magog conflict. Again, there's differences of opinion when this will all take place, but we got to keep our eyes on Israel. Watch and see. Again, it's too early right now to see how it's all going to play out, but keep looking at Israel. But my main objective today is not time out. So let's keep going. So war is sad. It's there's innocent people caught in the crossfire. Families are torn apart. Lives are lost. People are taken hostage. It's so sad. It's sad to watch. There are believers over there. There are born again believers in that area, and they're really leaning on the Lord heavy, and rightfully so, because He can help them. There's unsaved people there who need the Savior. It's a very delicate time, and it's a time when we need to rely on the Lord and ask for His will, as Tom prayed. Lord, may Your will be done here, and work through this tragedy. But my main objective is not to talk about Israel today, but just as a springboard into the fact that we are in a battle too. Again, we're fighting giants all the time, but we are at war. We are at war spiritually. We are in a spiritual battle, and we don't want to be caught off guard. We want to be ready. And so in Ephesians 6, we're introduced to some verses here that God says, I want to help you get ready for the battle. So these are battles that we fight every day. So let's take a peek at God's word here in Ephesians chapter 6 as He is going to help us get through these battles. Ephesians 6, start in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Now that verse right there is got some serious teaching in it, doesn't it? We're going to come to that. Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes, here's our enemy, of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, people, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's who we're fighting. Therefore, since we're at war, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Now, the following verses describe our armor. I want you to focus on verse 17. But let's read 14 first. Let's keep going. Stand firm, therefore, here's our armor, having girded your loins, your clothing, with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the wicked one, the evil one. Now here's our verse. And take the helmet of salvation, right here, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The first song we sang this morning was, Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're at war. We are at war. And we have an enemy. Our enemy is plainly stated in verse 11 and 12. Put on the full armor of God. Why? Because we need to be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And in verse 12, it talks about these different categories of the demon world, the wickedness in the heavenly places. We have an enemy who is described in the Bible as, of course, the devil or Satan. The Bible says a lot about this guy. And in fact, if we're going to be good soldiers for Jesus and to fight a good fight, we got to know our enemy. It's like in sports. If you're playing a team, you need to scout them to see what they do well. This is what they do good. This is what they don't do good in. I think we can beat them if we attack that spot. We need to know our enemy. But they're good when they do this. It's the same thing in warfare. You've got to know the strengths and the weaknesses and the strategies that have been used of your enemy. You got to know it. And so the Bible tells us about this guy, this devil. He's known as the tempter. He's a murderer. And one of the things I want to bring to us is he is a liar. This guy hates God, and he hates what God has planned, all of God's purposes. One of the first things that we read about Satan in the Garden of Eden is he comes up to Eve with an interesting question. Has God said that you shouldn't eat of any tree in the garden? Did he say that? And then Eve went on to say, yeah. He says, you won't die. That was a lie. Because not only did they die physically, eventually, but they died spiritually. And that's been passed on to us. We die physically, and if we don't trust Jesus as our Savior, we're going to die spiritually in hell. We're born spiritually dead. In fact, the Bible tells us that, right? We are dead in our sin, our trespasses and sins. We are born spiritually dead, right? So Satan is a liar. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. And while he's lying to this world, he lies to Christians. He lies to us. God doesn't love you. You got to earn salvation. Salvation's not a free gift. You kidding me? You got to be a good person. These are lies. And he comes at us, and he comes at us, and he wants us to believe these things. All religions point to God. That's a lie. So, he's looking to devour us. He's like a lion. The Bible tells us that the devil is like a lion who wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. Satan's no dummy. He knows the Bible. He doesn't use it properly. But he knows verses. He's cunning. He's sneaky. In fact, sometimes he appears as an angel of light. But make no doubt about it. No matter what form he comes at us, an angel of light or as a lion, he's trying to destroy us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our Christian testimony. He is definitely against the truth of God's word. Satan brings all kinds of error when he comes at us. He is a liar. He wants to discourage us. He wants to frustrate us. He wants to confuse us. He's our enemy. He is alive and well. He knows the Bible. He knows the passages in Revelation and Daniel, which talk about the end times. He knows the prophecy that was told back in Genesis when God punished Satan and said there's going to be the seed of the woman who is going to crush your head. And all you'll be able to do is strike his heel. He knows that. He knows what's coming, but he's trying to avoid it at all costs. So he's our enemy, but we have a problem. The problem is we're too weak to fight him. We have no strength on our own. We have nothing to defeat this guy with. We are weak. We're in trouble. We're too weak. But the Bible tells us in verse 10 that we're not to rely on our strength, which is weakness, but to rely on the strength of the Lord. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We have got to rely on God. God, I can't do it. I'm struggling. Satan's coming after me. We keep our eyes on Jesus and rely on his strength. Because the Bible says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Because you know why? We're relying on Jesus. When we're weak and we know it, that's when we turn to Jesus, and that's when we're strong. So, we are to rely on the Lord and his strength. And so God then says, hey, we can defeat this guy. Not we, I can defeat him. I've already defeated him, actually, at the cross. He is a defeated foe. He is a defeated foe right now. And he knows it, but he still comes after us trying to ruin our life. And so God says, I'll tell you what, while we're here, every day I want you to put on the armor of God. Now, I've already defeated Satan, and if you rely on my strength, you will be able to defeat these daily giants that keep appearing in your life. Just keep your eyes on me and put on this armor. This armor is going to help you. Well, how do you do that? Well, you do it by faith, right? And we'll talk about this. But every piece of equipment that we read, starting in verse 14, you could argue is defensive. Except one. One of these pieces of equipment is both defensive and offensive. And it's the sword of the Spirit. The sword is, back in the Roman days, what we're talking about here is not this big, long, 3 foot long, you got to grasp it with two hands and like a golf club kind of thing. That's not what we're talking about here. It's like a dagger, maybe a foot long. It's a knife. And this is what you would defend yourself initially. When the other guy come, you would block with, you know, you got the shield, of course. But you've also got this knife, which can also block. So it's defensive in a sense. But, of course, you don't use your knife just for defense. This is time for you to get busy and attack. It's the offensive piece of equipment. And so when Satan comes with his error-filled messages, when he comes with his lies, yes, we have the shield of faith, but we come with him also with the sword. yes, I'm going to trust the Lord with my shield of faith. I love that armor. I love the shield of faith. It's one of my favorites. In which we quench the fiery darts of the evil one. We've got to have the shield of faith. But that sword of the Spirit is what we use to say, all right, Satan, let me come at you. With God's word, not our strength. Not our strength. We're too weak. But we come to him on the authority of God's word. This is what God says, Satan. It's not what I'm believing. Sorry, it is what I believe. It's not what I say. It's not what I'm saying. It's what God has said. I am believing it. Sorry, I got my words mixed up there. It's not my words. It's God's word. And so you attack with the sword. Let me give you very, very quickly, and again, got my handy dandy. This thing is very helpful. My watch, my clock. All right. Five quick things about God's word. When Satan comes with his error-filled message, we come with the truth of God's word. What are some really simple, basic things about God's word we got to know? The Bible says that the Bible is inerrant. You know what that means? It means it's perfect. It is the truth. The Bible says this. In John 17, it says, thy word is truth. The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm says. Every word of God is pure. The Bible, we can count on it. It is the truth. Thy word is truth. Number two, the Bible, not another book. Fill in the blank. The Quran. The Book of Mormon. What other books? Whatever. Those are not God's word. The Bible is God's word. It claims it in 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is God-breathed. The Bible is God's word. The Bible shouldn't be added on to. And so if somebody comes to you and says, we have another book, the Book of Mormon or whatever. We have another edition, another testimony of God's words. Here it is. You should read it. No, we should not add to the Bible. The Bible says that every word of God is flawless. Do not add to it. This is in Proverbs 30. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Do not add to God's word. God's word is the truth. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it either. The Bible tells us how to be saved. There is no other way. The Bible says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It's through the Scriptures that we come to understand the free gift of salvation. It is from the Scriptures. And lastly, it is the Bible that does inner surgery on us, whether we're saved or unsaved. The Bible is active. It's alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Bible, when it is spoken, God's word gets right to the heart, and it cuts. But it's not to cut to destroy. It is a surgeon, the great physician who cuts in order to heal, to bring healing. So the Bible is powerful. When it is spoken, when God is heard, that's when things change. For instance, y'all didn't come to hear me today. Why would you listen to me? I am nothing. I hope you came to hear from God's word, because that is power. Not me. I'm flesh and blood just like you. God's word is what we came to hear, because that is strong and it's got what we need. And so this is our weapon, right? So we have an enemy. We're too weak on ourselves, but God has given us himself and this armor. Let me just, in our few remaining moments now, just draw some practical applications. This is all basic stuff. All right, what's up here is basic. You've heard this a million times. Okay, basic, foundational, but you got to know that first. But let's make some practical applications now, as we fight the devil every day, and his demons and this world system that he controls. Satan is the god of this world, the Bible says, and even our own sinful flesh we have to deal with. So what are some practical things that can help us using God's word, which is all of these things? How can we use God's word in our fight today? The first thing, guys, if we want to be good soldiers, we got to know our weapon. We got to know our weapon. We got to read it. It sounds so basic, doesn't it? We have to read the Bible. How are we supposed to fight our enemy if we don't know our weapon? I'm not a hunter. My brother is. My brother's kids are hunters. I just got a picture from my mom this week of my nephew, who's, how old is he? I don't know, 12. You know, he shot a five-point deer. You know, they go hunting all the time. My niece, she shot one. What was she, 10 years old? She shot a deer the other day. I mean, he takes them all hunting. They all go hunting. I mean, they've been hunting forever. I'm not a hunter. I'm into sports. I'm not into guns. I don't know. Ain't nothing right or wrong about either one of them. It's just the way it is, right? So I can remember when my first child was born back in 1999. It's right around Christmas, 10 days before. And like a few, you know, everybody was there. Not everybody, but Cliff and Bobby and et cetera, they all came down. And we decided, my brother, who loves hunting, and my brother-in-law, who also loves hunting, they wanted to go hunting. So I said, okay, I'll go. They said, oh, newbie. Do you know how to handle a gun, son? I said, nah, but I can shoot a gun. They said, yeah, all right. They took me back in the back. I'll never forget this. Took me back in the back bedroom. And my brother-in-law, Dean, who's come many times here, and my brother, Doug, they sat me down to bed and told me about shooting guns. How to hold a gun. This is how you walk, you know, I don't know, just whatever. I don't know if they showed me how to hold it when you're walking. You know, you got to, you know, pop it in half, you know, and you got, y'all know, y'all hunters, y'all know. You pop it in half so the one half is flapping around, and you kind of walk around like this, you know, so you don't shoot nobody. They told me all about guns because I didn't know nothing. Well, that was important because I didn't want to go. They didn't want me, you know, hey, how you do this? And I'm you know, they're ducking for cover because I'm shooting wild and all this. And I'd shot my toe off probably, you know. If you want to be a good soldier, though, you need to fight knowing your weapon. This is what my weapon will do. From this distance, I can hit blah, blah, blah. With this particular weapon, I can cause this kind of damage, whatever. And so I'll use it in this scenario. Da-da-da-da-da-da. A good soldier is going to know his weapon. Guys, do we know our weapon? I'm talking to myself. You know, the Bible says we need to desire the sincere milk of the word. We need to have a desire to know our weapon. We need to have a desire to get to know our weapon. The second word, we should be searching our weapon. The Bereans were commended for the fact that when Paul spoke afterwards they got around and said, hey, is this what Paul, is this really what, I mean, is this the right thing that Paul said? Here, let me look at this. And they searched it out to see if what Paul said was true. Y'all need to do that with me. Who's that young guy up there talking? He don't know nothing. I'm going back. When I get home, I'm going to get my commentaries out, and I'm going to check him out. That's what you need to do. I'm serious. You need to see if I'm telling you the truth. Search the scriptures. Desire to know your weapon. Meditate. You need to be, my brother, he probably thinks about hunting all the time. I mean, his whole house is filled with trophies. I mean, it's like a museum. You know, takes trips to Arkansas and Montana and, you know, whatever. Going on a hunting trip. He probably dreams about hunting. I don't know. He probably dreaming about a Christmas present. I'm going to get me a new gun this year. That's what we need to be. We need to be meditating. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. We need to memorize it. In a battle, it would be a bad, bad thing to be a soldier in a battle and say, hey, man, I'm getting shot at. Do you remember how to use this thing? Hey, yo, man, I'm in. Hey, I'm under attack. My giants are attacking me, and if we don't know how to use our weapon, we're in trouble. We got a weapon. Yeah, I got a weapon. You got a Bible? Yeah. You ever read it? Well, not a whole lot. That's not being a good soldier. I know we have these things which are trouble, but they can be used for good. I know it can be used for good. But what if we don't have time for this? What if we've put it down? We need to be able to recall God's word from memory. Memorize it. And the last thing that would help us know our weapon is to teach it. I'm a school teacher. I know for a fact that I learn more than my kids. I know that for a fact. Look at my test scores. The kids' scores on my tests. But in order to teach it, you have to know it. Does that make sense? Guys, if you really want to know your Bible, teach it to somebody. You have to know it in order to teach it. We've got to know our weapons. Do you know your weapon? I'm talking to myself. How well do I know my weapon? There's a promise in here somewhere that talks about getting over worry. I don't know where it is. It's in here somewhere. I mean, we all do that, right? And I'm glad for Google, and we can quickly look it up. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad we have a concordance in the back. I'm bad about it, too. I'm talking to me. I'm very thankful for Google in that regard. But it's bad if we don't know. It's in there somewhere. If that's our attitude about everything, we don't really know our weapon. I don't know. I ain't sure. I mean, it's okay to keep learning. We're all learning. I haven't arrived. I got a lot to learn. Like I said, I'm thankful for Google. But we need to know where it's at so we can have quick recall. Because when Satan comes, y'all, he ain't saying, hey, he don't want a fair fight. Hey, you ready? You got your sword out? Hey, come on, let's go ahead and fight. No, he's coming to blindside us. Satan is coming to blindside us, and he attacks when we're not ready. And so we have to be ready, because that's what he's looking for. When is a vulnerable time that he can attack? All right, the second thing. Know your weapon. The second thing about knowing your weapon is we need to handle it properly. The Bible tells us that we need to accurately handle the word of truth. God's given us his word, but we need to know what the word says and what it means and the context. And we don't want to be using it in such a way that's going to cause problems. We need to handle the word of truth accurately. Satan does not do this. Satan came to Jesus and tempted him, if you remember, and he even used the Bible. And Jesus had to use the Bible right back at him because Satan, when he uses the Bible, he's not going to do it properly. You know, there's so much in the Bible that we have to learn that is helpful for us. You know, it's kind of like this cell phone and this computer. You know, I am not techie at all. I'm not a tech person. I can turn this thing on, and I can text, and I can make a phone call. And I can probably do a few things. I can look up the weather, and I can do Google Maps. But you know what? I bet you I use about 10% of what this thing is capable of. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know how to tap into all the little nuances of this thing. Go into settings. I mean, ask my kids. They know how to do it all. Go into settings and hit this and hit that. I don't know how to even turn the crazy thing on. This thing, too. I can turn it on Google. I can Google, and I can make a little power presentation, whatever. I can do email. I can go to ESPN. But I ain't using this thing hardly at all. There's so much here that I'm not tapping into. And I'm afraid I'm the same way with God's word if I'm not careful. Now, let me rephrase that. I know I don't know everything in here. I know I'm deficient. And I'm speaking to myself. We need to know our weapon. Read it. And handle it properly. The last thing, the last key point, is we need to use our weapon. I would be a very poor soldier if I was on the battlefield and I'm carrying my weapon. I know how to use it. I'm familiar with it. But I don't use it. I would be a very poor soldier. Terrible. If I don't use it. What kind of a soldier would I be? I'd be a sitting duck is what I'd be for Satan. He'd look at me and say, there's a kid, there's an adult, he's got a weapon. Oh boy, he don't know how to use it. He don't know how to use that thing. I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna get him. He knows a few things. But he don't know what I'm getting ready to throw at him. And Satan's looking to devour us. He is looking. Who's got a weapon but don't know how to use it? How do you do it? How do you use your weapon? Well, you got to know it, yes. But you got to lean into it and say, God, I'm not leaning on my strength. I'm leaning on your strength. And if you don't give me, God, your word says, and I'm counting on you to come through. This is what your promises are. God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. That's how you use it. You lean into it. God, I'm trusting your word. It's given me a lot of hope. It's given me a lot of peace. God, thank you for your word. That's how you use it. You believe it. You know, Jesus used it, right? When Satan came at him with these temptations, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He used it. You know what happens when we use it? The Bible says, resist the devil, No, Satan. No, Satan. This is what the Bible says. And we use our sword, God's word. The Bible says he'll run. Now, you know what he did in the time of Jesus? He ran from Jesus after those three times. Jesus says, it is written. But you know what he says he decided to do? He looked for an opportune time to come back. Did you catch that? Number one, he's coming back. And number two, he comes back when he thinks he's got an advantage. He came at Jesus because Jesus was been 40 days, you know, not eating. He says, this is my time to come get you. And so he's watching us. Satan's watching us, and he's looking for a time that he says, I'm going to get that guy. He's vulnerable, and I'm coming. And I bet he's got a weapon. I'm going to bet he don't know how to use it. And he's coming. He's coming for us. But if we say no to Satan, he'll run. Now, he's coming back again. He might come back the next day. He might come back in the next hour. You know what I'm saying? That's how quick he is. Keep resisting him. The Bible says, the Word of God says, Satan, and you come at him. You come at him. Come at him with God's Word. He hates God's Word. He can't handle God's Word. The Bible says this to encourage us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He that is in us, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he that's in the world, the devil. These are promises of God, y'all. This is God's word speaking. And so we lean on it and we use our weapon. It's time to end. So let me conclude with this. Quick little rehash. We're at war. Gosh, you got to know that. That's the first thing. You got to realize you're at war. Just know that Satan's coming for you. He's after all of us. We're at war. The problem is we're too weak. However, if we rely on God's strength and his armor, we can beat Satan. So what do we do with this armor, this sword? Well, we got to read it. We got to know it. We have to handle it accurately. And then we got to use it. Let me say one quick thing here to the unsaved. And for the believers, just be so thankful for this promise of God. You should worship God when you read this verse. Just worship God, you believers. Just right now. Just thank him. Read that verse. Just worship God. He who hears my word, you say, God, thank you for that day when I heard your word. And I put my saving faith in you. And you gave me eternal life. Just worship God. Just right now, just worship God. That's God's word, y'all. That's no man speaking. That is God's word. That is a promise. That is a fact. Lean into it. Worship our Savior. What a God we have. But if you're not here, this is God's word. That is God's word. And he wants to save your soul. I don't know you. I know very few of you. I don't know. Maybe you've been here and you're carrying a weapon. But you don't believe what's inside the weapon. You've got one. You've got five Bibles at the house. You've got five guns at the house. Five weapons. But you don't believe it. The Bible is God's word. It offers hope. It offers peace. It offers salvation that is free. It offers us eternal life. Believe God's word. Put your faith in what Jesus has done on the cross for you. He died for you. He loves you. He shed his blood for you. And if you put your simple faith in him, you will be saved. What a Savior. Do it today. Guys, I'm glad for our sword. Glad for my sword. I don't know it like I should. I'm just like you. I'm no better than you. We're all, man, I'm just like you. I got a lot to learn. But let's together learn God's word. Let's use God's word against the evil one. Let's pray. God, thank you for leaving behind the armor of God. Lord, thank you for the sword of the Spirit. Lord, it is your word. It is true. And so, Lord, I just worship you today, thanking you for salvation, Lord, that you've provided through Jesus. And your word tells me that if I put my simple faith and trust in him, I can be saved. Thank you for that promise, God. Thank you. And God, I pray if there's anyone here that's not saved, Lord, that they too would put their faith and trust in you. Oh, God, time is short, we believe, as we watch what's going on with Israel and one world government talks and the money getting taken out of our hands and various things, Lord, just so many things happening. It's pointing to, again, the truth of your word. So, Lord, as we see the day approaching, Lord, may it encourage us to be good soldiers. May we be good soldiers, Lord. May we fight the good fight of faith. Oh, God, just may we see victory in our life as we resist the devil and he runs. Oh, God, help us to lean on your word. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.